Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Today in the studio, I have the lovely Annetta Buckthorne, coach, potential expert, founder at Pureception Limited, with also a master's in career management and organizational psychology, specialized in emotional intelligence and constellations. Welcome, Annetta. Can you start with a brief summary of who you are, what you do, and why do you do it?
Thank you for that introduction. So I do wear many hats. And I always found it a little bit challenging to say who I am, because I think I'm still finding myself. And I think that's the life journey for everyone. But at the moment, I could say that I'm an authentic achiever. This is something that I really strongly stand by. My background is in coaching and in management. And I'm a mom and wife. I'm really passionate about people's potential and how to grow it. Because I believe as well that we are humans being re-evolving and growing every day. So why not to grow our potentials? And this is who I am at the moment. I'm still, you know, discovering my new sides of my being, and I'm still growing my own potential. So yeah, that's a journey, I would say.
Lovely. And actually, just sort of geographically, because I love the fact that we're all these global women from all over. You're based in the UK, right? And where are you from originally?
So I'm based in UK. I'm from Poland. That's original background. However, I've got German DNA, I've got Russian DNA, I've got Jewish DNA, and I'm married to a Kiwi guy who's got Scottish roots.
Fantastic. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very global, you know. But one of my dreams was to go global, to work globally, not just to with Polish people. I did work with many Polish women, and I do really value that. But my dream was to work with and connect with women globally. And I'm doing it. So it's a pleasure.
It is indeed. And we actually met through Global Woman, didn't we?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. So we're both members of the Network of Women Entrepreneurs, Global Women. And this is fantastic. And Annetta, I love very much what you've said also in your introduction about the fact that indeed it's not exact science. I mean, we discover ourselves a little bit more every day. And that's why I particularly like the choice of your title for today's episode, which is Growing Potential After 50. Mm. So not just, you know, keeping it up as much as we can, or even sharing just what we've acquired so far, but actually growing. Because I mean, before 50 was like, you know, the first step towards thinking of retirement, of slowing down. And indeed, at the most, what we hoped for was to maintain the level for as long as we could. Whereas here, you're talking about growing, you're talking about reaching for the stars. The curve is going upwards and always. But do you find that many women see it that way?
Oh, no, I just had this is a pure example what happened today. I'm in a peer group and we have a peer supervision, and the women that I'm sharing the space with, they are over 50. And it's so interesting because I do go there and try to motivate them and present that new way of thinking, because they sometimes they're like, oh, I think I'm not doing it the way that it was in the books. And I'm like, but it's not about being doing exactly. It's about, you know, discovering yourself. You have such life experience. That's the massive potential. And many women think that, oh, you know, I'm over 50 now, it's time for the grandchildren maybe to take over the different duties at home. And this is where I found it. That's the wrong turn. Women after 50, they have so much experience. You know, they work, they raise their children, and they have that time in their head when they really become powerful within themselves. That's why I like the growing potential.
Indeed. And I'm not quite sure what it is. I mean, I think it is so partially that not so long ago, 50 indeed was, you know, already on the downward curve. So you didn't actually see yourself as growing or learning something new. And thankfully, that's very different. I mean, my episode last week was a lady who totally recreated herself at 65. I mean, literally retired. And within a few months was a bit like, well, no, this isn't for me, you know, and recreated. I mean, it's not even about working again in the same branch, but totally recreated herself. So I think there's that side as well. And then maybe indeed, you know, you mentioned young people and thinking we're not doing it by the book. I think also, you know, with the advent of technology, which is obviously developing so fast, that lots of us feel you know, at the age of 50, if we're talking even about going into corporate, that basically we don't have the tools that we need anymore, you know, that savviness with all the social media very rapidly. However, what we do forget is that all these tools are for sharing and disseminating something, but that something is what we have, that knowledge, that expertise, that having learned by trial and error, by experience, by bad experience, etc. That is the power of the woman of 50. So when we talk about growing our potential, so you say yourself that you find in your practice that women hesitate and wonder and doubt that potential. How then do you go about helping them realize that they have it and really go for it?
I would say that women really need to see the value, because everyone at the end of the day, they want to have that end goal with the potential. You really need to trust, but you need to trust yourself. So you need to really stay in touch with who you are, what you already know, what is the possible in front of you. So I like to work with the possibilities and the parts of self. The one thing that I learned as well is when we say yes to ourselves, then we, you know, there's a price that we pay. And many people don't want to pay that price because they're afraid of it. But the price for me is, yeah, you're just saying bye-bye to your old you, and and you're stepping into that new power. And this is what we really hold on to, because this is what we know. So people have, and women especially, have the tendency to really be afraid of stepping in. But there's something that we learn. A few days ago, I was talking about daddy's daughter syndrome, where women, we all daughters of our fathers, we're very good with work, with progression, because we learned that very early. And this is in our DNA. But if you look really, really back in our ancestral line, we're coming from a line of really strong women who overcome the world. You know, they were giving a life in very difficult situations. So we do have that in our DNA as well. True. So it's just stepping into that power of our ancestrals, of the feminine line as well, and saying yes to life. Because when you say yes to life, you say yes to success. When you say yes to your background, this is very important. And people are forgetting a little bit about the history, the background. So, you know, and the potential is everywhere. And I sometimes will say to people, okay, so what potential means? What we all know: potential client, potential house, potential buyer. So this potential is everywhere. So we can grow it from, it's like taking a basket and going for a trip for picking apples, you know, and you can fill your basket with it, because, you know, your tree, you know, you can use that tree as well for your progression. So I would say that's where the secret lies.
Because I'm hearing you say two things. So one is, you know, they're afraid of paying the price. So by that, I'm hearing you say they're afraid of the unknown and of the, you know, of how big they could probably be. As in it's not so much the fear of failure. It's almost the fear of success. And can I cope with it? Will other people cope with it? Will people still love me?
Yeah. If I will be strong, will that man still love me? Because I think this is what we're afraid of. If I become stronger than my husband is at the moment. And I had that as well. When I did the few exercises that I learned myself, I break in tears. And I said to other colleagues in the group, because that was a group work, and I said, oh, I can't believe it. I said, I'm saying no. You know, I was so attached to the idea that if I would change, I might lose my marriage, I might lose my family. But it wasn't that. It was just the idea. And exactly. I had a massive aha moment saying, oh, my God, you silly woman.
The idea, that's the only thing stopping us. It's not other
mindset,
people. It is the mindset. And I think that women are more prone to that than men as well. It's also maybe, you know, do we dare speak out? You know, who am I to think that I can? And all of that sort of very strange lack of self-confidence that we seem to have developed as women, or that we had, or maybe even, you know, to come back to the second thing that you were saying about our ancestral line, it's also maybe that, you know, women were, let's say, shut down and made small for so long that then we do come to doubt, and we are evolving and we're learning fast our potential and recognizing, as you say, something which is there and was there first, but we haven't yet completely got to the phase where we can, you know, put those hesitations aside. And I mean, I haven't studied it, but I remember a few years back knowing a lady who'd written a few books about, you know, the matriarchal lines and that society basically was first of all based on women leaders, and that, you know, the groups were formed around the woman. In those days, they didn't yet really know that intercourse was what made babies. So basically the woman was the head of the household, and the man she wanted would sleep at her hearth. I mean, it could be different ones. She could have different children from different groups. And I remember then there was the whole idea of it being actually, and I hope I'm not going to get myself into trouble here, but actually the Catholic Church, which had then come about with the idea that in order to have groups and also then to go to war, it needed to be more determined. And so then there was the idea that it was, you know, through the male sperm then. So the children were from one household or another, and that's where it all turned around. Now that's a topic for another occasion, because I actually find it fascinating and I don't know much.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because I just said to someone today as well that, you know, if you will look back, women used to gather and they had those, you know, communities, the circles of knitting and greeting and doing loads of stuff. And somehow that just disappeared. And women stayed at home with children on their own. I've seen in my family, my mom didn't have time to have many friends. My grandmother didn't have that, you know. So I said, why not to try the build the communities with other women? Women still not really trusting that, but I see the movement, I see the change. And I think that's another potential. This is where you grow, you know. You have those so many contacts, and women standing by another woman is the wall that no one can break.
Yes, AI.
It's just the trust.
And that's it, because I think as a group, we're very strong. Yeah. As a group, we're very strong, and we're prepared. You know, I saw that in all, you know, we were talking about Africa before we started recording. And in my years in Africa, I saw the huge strength of women, even if officially they did not have the highest positions in these different ethnic groups. They were the leaders, because they were prepared to put all sorts of differences, you know, in religion, in tribe, etc., aside for the better good of the community, for their children. They would get together in groups, you know, with the idea that solidarity and group, you know, strength comes through numbers, whereas men were not able to do that. The ego was just too strong for them to be okay gathering together. So I totally agree with that. But I think that indeed the work that you're doing as well is very much the fact that on an individual level, we do still doubt ourselves. So as a group, we're totally prepared to say, you know, women are fantastic and women are the leaders of tomorrow, because of all the soft skills that have stopped us from being leaders so far, because that was the image that one had of how a leader needed to be. So if we're talking about growing potential after 50, how do you help women? Is that with particular tools? Is it changing their mindset? You know, if we're talking about tips to share, how do you go about growing your potential at 50, or at least, you know, already getting to that mindset where you let yourself be free to explore what that potential could be?
Many women after 50, they already created a life. Right. You know, they created something. So they already created, they have that tool. So I will just advise them to look back and see what they were really good at, you know, what you already created. So you want them to be connected to something positive, something that they already achieved. And from that, you go into possible self. So you look into something, you know, imagination, creativity, hobbies. This is where you can really connect to the true, to the authentic self and the potential. You know, we don't need a rocket science. I hear from many women, you're telling us things that you already know. And I'm like, yes, but did you ever try? Do you have the, it's about the courage of trying and staying consistent and saying yes to many things and saying yes to uncomfortable and sitting with that uncomfortable. Sometimes we go through that moments in our life where things are not really clear and we are not really happy. And I think sometimes, you know, every few years you get that shift every decade, every 15 years. People have that pattern, repetitive pattern, where we come to it. And the secret is just to acknowledge that, okay, this is something that, you know, repeats itself. Okay, I know this. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And we move on. Right. So it's just releasing programs. That's the one thing that is really important.
And so the limiting beliefs, as in basically things that we've maybe had a bad experience and made it mean something, and we've, you know, developed a strategy or a pattern indeed to cope with it. And it might have been useful back then, but it might be holding us back now.
Exactly. Past never serves the here and now. What we tend to do is we really get ourselves stuck. And when you're stuck, it means that you are somewhere in the past with something that already happened and you're still there. It's like, you know, when you have a tail, but on your tail is lots of weights. So every time you look back and say, thank you, what's yours stays with you, what's mine stays with me. That's the one simple sense, but so powerful, because you're releasing yourself. So one of the weights is going out. So what happened when you walk is you're walking more freely and you don't feel that heaviness. So it's not about just go sitting and digging in the dirt all the time and in the past. It's about acknowledging, being aware of it, but it's still staying with yourself where you are and creating the future. So creating the possible picture of who you can become, because this way you're staying in the flow. So, you know, you're saying goodbye to a past, you're still with here and now creating, but you are connecting to the future. And this connection in between those three parts are very important. So it's working on three parts of selves that I do. Is the, I call it the nasty self, the part that we already left behind, and then the part that we haven't met yet. And it's very simple exercises that you can do. And it's really, you know, I learned through experience, and I believe that you can read many books, but until you know that don't experience it, then you won't get it. So do really want in my coaching program that women come together and they experience this, because then this way here you have that. So we are human beings. We have a felt sense. So we learn through feelings as well.
Yes.
So this is how I work with women. I want them to feel it as well. But sometimes people are quite afraid of the felt sense because they don't know what to expect. But it's nothing to worry, because I went through it myself and I put something together that it helped me to move on, because I was stuck in one place for over a decade.
Right.
So,
well, I think lots of people will be able to relate to that. So is this the constellations that you're talking about?
I mean, I did.
What is a constellation anyway?
Family Systemic Constellation is founded by Bert Hellinger, who passed away in 2019. It's a method that he created. He was very much into phenomenology, And he was a psychologist, but he was more than psychologist.
So what
It's a dynamic work, I would say, but he learned this from the Zulu tribe. It's quite difficult. It's complicated. It's quite complicated to explain, but it's to learning through an experience and setting up 3D map. However, I do not follow that approach because I felt like, you know, that the things are evolving, even the approaches. So I'm making my, you know, what I learn and what really works for me, and I make it really simple, because not many people are ready to really step in into constellation work, because it's a lot of digging in the past.
Right. Okay.
So and people are really afraid of it. So
patterns that you were talking about. So it's you go back and you based on the family constellation, you look at the patterns or the strategies that you then develop. Is that it?
I mean, before you will have to set up 3D map and you will have representative from a whole group and you will see what really happened in the past. I learned a little bit faster way that you don't need all those people because you have the answer within yourself. So as a small exercise, just by asking a simple questions, you will get the answers, and by the answering yourself, you're releasing that. So you see, you don't need the whole
back to that digging in the past and all that.
Exactly.
And I don't know much about constellation myself, but I do know that on a basic level, I'm actually a coach as well, and I've been since 2009. But what attracted me to coaching was that idea that so many people I know who've been through therapy, and I'm not talking about trauma, I'm talking about just, you know, blockages in life, and we know we're not doing what we should be doing or whatever, that then get completely stuck in the past and just sort of the film just gets worse and worse and bigger and bigger. And if anything, it actually holds them back from taking responsibility and moving forward. And the coaching basically says, okay, you are who you are now.
Yeah.
Maybe things happen that you wish had not happened, but hey, what? They have happened. So what are you going to do with it now? How can you move forward and live your life? So I like very much what you're saying here. So, okay, you were talking about looking at the past patterns and sort of limiting beliefs and then letting the past go. So is that the idea of, okay, learning from the past, you know, because it's taught us something, I suppose.
I would say that if you look in the past, there's so much resources that we have. Yes. We look at the past as a bad experience. But no one looks at the past as a good experience. And now I remember I did one of the trainings with one of my teachers and I said, where's the hope? We're always digging in the dead. And I said, where's the positive? Where's the nice stuff? I said, we still live in polarity. We have good and bad. We have dark and light. I said, so why we always look into a bad stuff? And he just suddenly, he thought about it. And I didn't get my answers. But then this is what pushed me to what I do now. And I said, come on. I said, we've been through, you know, 2 years of chaos, but I said, there is a hope. As long as we have hope, we can carry on.
Totally. And how can you expect people to want to try and change and grow their potential if there's no hope? The only thing that keeps us going every day is hope. Is hope that today will be better than yesterday, that today I'll be stronger than yesterday. I mean, that is how the human spirit is. And it makes me think back to that book from, I don't know if you know it, the psychologist Viktor Frankl during the Second World War, Man's Search for Meaning. And that's indeed the day there is no hope.
Exactly. And so carry on. And someone said to me the other day, said, you're too positive. And I'm like, but what was the bad about being positive? I said, as long as I'm positive, I'm attracting the positive things in my life.
I agree.
And I change.
It's a choice. Yeah. I was speaking to a lady before as well. And I was saying, oh, you look upbeat and happy and all of that. And she said, yes, it's a choice. She said, if I look at my life at the moment, I can't say that there's that much to rejoice about. But you know what? I feel better when I am positive and upbeat. So if that's what it takes to get you out there and do the stuff that you need to do, then indeed. Okay, what other tip do you have for our listeners to grow their potential after 50?
I would say to go really in that uncomfortable, because I learned that in uncomfortable is a lot of good. And it's something that I don't know where's this program coming from, but we've been told don't go there because it's risky, because it's wrong. No, it's not risky. No, it's not. As long as you say yes, you say yes to life, you know. Yes. That all the blocks that we had, they have a lot of value in it. That's the life lesson. And we evolve. One simple approach that I teach people as well, and they're like, oh, that's so obvious, is intention. So it's big I. And I said, it's I am. So big I starts with intention. So what is your intention? What are you asking for? What intention is for today? Because that's very important. If you have clear intention, then, you know, the things are coming your way in a very different way. And it's with this I, you know, I go and I, you know, I have this intention. And then you follow with affirmation. And people say, oh, affirmation. But affirmation help you to change your mindset. You're working on your mindset. So every day you tell yourself something. You bring that positive thought into your mind, because we have to work with our minds. We have so many programs that are coming from our early childhood, from very bad experience, from society. We learn a certain ways. Affirmations are helping you with that, helping you to think positive. And as well, they're helping you to be consistent. So you're already committing to something. You have routine. So that's another step. And M is the manifestation. So what are you showing? What do you want? And do you really believe in the universe? People might say it, God, some other people will say it different. I say it, universe. And do you have a trust that what happens in your life is right for you for the moment? And for me, just following those three steps, I am. So it's intention, affirmation, and manifestation. It works. Yes. And people say, but we know this. And I'm like, did you even try it?
No, but that's exactly what you say. They know the words, but they don't know the impact and how, and they don't dare really try it. You have to try it with your whole heart. You can't just sort of say,
yes,
I want this or whatever. You have to really believe
it. you need to really tap into your felt sense. It's like, you know, when you're hungry, you know what happened with women, why they put on weight? Because they are really hungry, but they feel that they need something. But the need is not in the food, it's in their life. They need the life energy, they need the creativity. So what they do, they open the fridge and look there, and you know, and looking for something. Okay, so what I'm gonna do? I will pick a cake, I will pick that. You don't need sweets, you need to be creative, you need to experience, you need to do so many things. So stop opening a fridge, open yourself, you know.
I've done it. Stop opening the fridge, open yourself. I think that's a quote. I think you should keep that. Stop opening the fridge, open yourself. But it's very true what you're saying.
Because I've been there. You know how many times I opened the fridge and I was standing in front of that fridge and then I asked myself, what am I looking here for?
Yeah, we're not happy. It's
this
emotional,
is not what
right?
I'm looking for. Yeah,
it's emotional. It's to fill a need. It's to fill a need, but it's not a hole in your stuff, something missing, but it's not food. And then usually that just makes us even more miserable. So that's not the solution. So that's also what you're saying, isn't it? It's about moving outside that comfort zone, and you can eat as many cakes as you want. Eating cakes have never made people happy in the long term. You might have, you know, 2 seconds of pleasure, the taste of the chocolate in your mouth or whatsoever, but that's not going to fill the hunger. The hunger will stay there, how many cakes you eat. So indeed, it's having that openness. So I like that, your I am. So we shall share that as a tip. Anything else you would like to add as we finish off for you know, women over 50 at this idea of growing their potential?
I would recommend them to just sit one day, close the eyes and imagine that basket that they have. You know, the basket next to them, and fill that basket with already things that you really know, you know, the experience, something that you already have in that basket. And then, you know, maybe put another basket on another side, the empty one, and how you can fill it up. Right. And how you can use those resources from one basket so you can juggle, you see? So
it's not because we're over 50 that the apples are all going off, right? I mean, it's abundance. There is no limit.
But you see, we're all in the seasons, you know, like we people, humans are in the seasons, you know, and the same with trees and with nature, you know, that's why we're coming into a, you know, spring, summer, autumn, winter. And you know, it's the same with ourselves, you know, we're growing, we're going into something, you know, we're outgrowing, our fruit is going, we nourish ourselves with that fruit. And then again, we're going into, you know, autumn, we're losing something, you know, we're in the winter. So we stay in the stillness. Yes. And then when the spring comes, we spring as well. And then it's a cycle. And
it's
if we
cycle.
Will do that, it's a cycle. Everything is a cycle. So if we will follow that cycle with our, you know, who we are and how we can grow, we will be just like shining.
And that comes back to the beginning of your talk, right? Yeah. It's about remembering, because that's exactly what women used to do, right? Mother Nature is a woman, right? I mean, it used to be all about the cycle. The cycle of life and death, etc. So indeed, it's going back to the source. Anita, thank you very much for that. Now, for the listeners out there who would like some more personal help, some coaching, etc., is there a website? Do you do it online or is it all face-to-face?
I do run a free workshops every few weeks and to present the 5 steps that I use in my coaching.
Right.
I'm you know, reachable on via LinkedIn and Instagram. It's called Coaching with Anita, but I'm working on another project where I really want to help and make an impact on this planet and help many people, which will be called Authentic Achievers.
Perfect. Yes. Well, we shall definitely have you back once you're ready and you can explain more about that. For today, I thank you very much for sharing your beautiful light, your wisdom, your energy and your optimism. I already feel a lot more upbeat. So thank you very much for that, Anita.
Thank you for having me here.
Now, for the rest of you out there, I hope you've been listening properly to this absolute burst of energy and positivity, and indeed I've picked up on those tips. I like the I am, so the intention, affirmation and the manifestation, the idea of filling the basket. So first of all, looking at what you have in your basket, and you have so much, list everything in your basket and then start filling it, because there is an abundance out there of things that you can still do and parts of yourself that you can still be. And it's got nothing to do with being over 50. Age has no limit in there. And then the last pearl of wisdom for today, stop opening the fridge and open yourself. Take care out there and see you again next week. Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.